Now we're going to go on in our teaching in the areas dealing with the gospel of Jesus Christ and the will of man and how important your will is and my will is. Hallelujah. It's a hugely, hugely powerful thing that God gave man a will. You know, it sort of seems strange. I mean, when I first got born again, I used to, you know, with me, there's certain things that people don't like to think into, but you know, I was always this because they always talk God knows everything, but yet the church many times talks like God don't know everything. But God knows everything as it's going on. Now, because He knows everything that's going on, don't mean He's making decisions about everything that's going on. And we need to understand that. God knows, God gives me opportunity to respond to His will, and He knows whether I will or not, but He doesn't make it to the sit down thing because He knows I might make a wrong decision. He don't step in and change it. Why? Because I'm a free will agent and so are you. This is one of the things that people need to get a hold of this fact. This is a powerful thing because in heaven, there's not going to be anybody there who don't want to have anything to do with the will of God. God's not going to force. Jesus died for all humanity. But all humanity is not going to be in heaven. Even though it's His great love and what He did, He still allows man to have their own choice. Everybody gets their own choice. And so we need to think about that thing and that clear to everybody. I have my own choice. God's not forcing us to do anything. We just yield ourselves to His will. Now this is what Jesus said. We read last week, and I'm gonna read this again in John the 10th chapter, the Gospel of John the 10th chapter in verse 17. It said, Jesus said, therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Now we talked about that. That word life there is that word is regularly translated soul. In other words, He said, I want to lay down my will, what I want to do, that I might take it up again. He said, no one takes it from me. What? His will. Nobody takes His will from Him, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down or lay my will down. You know, you have power to lay your will down. You know, sometimes, you know, they take, you know, one of the things I don't like, people say this all the time, is somebody's strong-willed, and they said, well, you need to break the person's will. You don't break a person's will. You learn to direct the will. One of the reasons that we have today, there's too many people with broken wills. They aren't strong-willed at all. They're too weak-willed. In Christianity, there's too many weak-willed Christians. They need to have a strong will to be able to set. You just learn to develop. If you follow the Word of God, you should have a strong will to set yourself in the direction God wants you. That's what you want. A weak will. If you have a weak will, you ain't going to set yourself to do the will of God. You want to, that's one thing. See, the Word of God will develop strength in you. So Jesus could lay down His will. He said, and I have the power to take it up or my will again. He said, this command I have received from my Father. Jesus had a choice because and I won't go read through the whole thing in Luke 22 and verses 39 through 46. We went through that last week where Jesus was in the garden and it was dealing with His will. See, He could lay His will down or He could just keep His will to do what He wanted. He had that. He operated as a man. You know, Jesus and His operation, I want you to think about the will. Jesus, before He came to earth, He was God. Yet He still had a will. He laid His will down as God to come down here, and then as a man, He laid down His will to do the will of God. He did it in both. He laid His will down to come here to die for us, but then as a man, He had to lay His will down as a man, just like you do. Just the same manner He has a will as a human being, whether He would lay His will down or not lay His will down. But He laid His will down and took the will of the Father. And that's what was in the garden. He was doing that thing, and we had read that last week in verse 42 of Luke 22, it said, for He said, if it is your will to take up this cup away from me, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. So He was in a battle. He was in a battle concerning His own will. See, and I want you to get this fact. Take the time to learn to set your will in a direction, whatever it might be. Jesus didn't just do it in 10 minutes. I want you to think about this. If you sit down and read Jesus and His ministry, the whole time He's talking through His ministry, you find different spots. He's talking about His death, where He's going to. He's talking where He's going to. Yeah, but the night he had to do it, it wasn't so easy, was it? You know, you might set your will and say, yeah, God, I'm going to do your will. And while it comes up to do something, you might have to fight to try to set yourself to do it. Jesus did. He was no different. You know, he's talking all the time to his disciple about what he's going to do, what he's going to do. Now, number one of the things you need to learn to do is have yourself a good confession ahead of time. Set yourself in a direction. Don't wait till you get up to the time and try to, this is what people do. People do this in healing. They don't have a good confession all the time during their health and sickness shows up. Now they try to get a confession going. No, I have a confession all the time. Every time I pray over my food, I thank God that he blesses my bread and water and takes sickness from me. You know, when sickness comes, well, I'm already set in a direction. These people pray, well, Lord, bless the food to my body. Well, that is good, but I want to tell you what, you ought to kick some of that thing in or remind yourself constantly concerning every time I eat. I pray in the morning for breakfast. I say that. I pray during that. I always say it. I say that. I keep myself by a confession because when I get to a place and something comes against me, I already want to have a course set. And I've already said it with my mouth. And that ain't the only things I say. You know, I speak other things concerning my health. And I do that. Well, see, you've got to keep doing those things all the time. You set a course. You don't wait till you get there. You know, it's sort of like we do in our nation. You know, we don't deal with any problems till they come up. We don't have no plans ahead on nothing. You know, we plan on, you know, when it gets here, well, then we'll deal with that. And this is why things have a hard time. Set yourself in a direction ahead of time. I've learned that concerning things. It's much easier dealing with stuff. See, Jesus had set a direction, and now he's in the real battle, but he has already set himself a direction. And he's in a fight. One of the things that really amazed me in that was verse 43. It said, then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. But then verse 44 says, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Well, you'd think if the angel strengthened him, then this would just be a piece of cake. But see, the angel may have given him strength, but he still has to deal with his will. See, no matter how much strength God gives you, he's not going to take over your will and give you and turn around and strengthen you and take over your will so you don't have to go through that. You're going to always have to deal with your will. He may give you spiritual strength, but you need to hook up with it to deal with your will. Well, he did. I mean, he went to the point, and it says that that he was in agony, praying in agony, and he prayed more earnestly. He said, then this his sweat became like drops, great drops of blood falling to the ground. I always think it's funny because of this story. You know, they always get dramatic about, you know, his sweat and great drops of blood. But you know what? That isn't the important part of this thing. It was about him dealing with his will. This is what the important part of that thing was. And it's overread to get into something dramatic. No, I'm going to tell you what. You're going to have trouble at times dealing with your will. And it's just like it took Jesus time to deal with his will. Sometimes you're going to have to take time to deal with your will. You're going to have to take time to do that. Sometimes you're going to sit down and say, you know, it is not enough just to obey. You know, obedience, the Bible says, is better than sacrifice. Sure, it's good to obey, but we need to understand this. We want to obey God by our will. To do it and be willing to do it, I'm doing it because of God. Because you're going to find out. It's like next week we're going to look at some things concerning financially, why some people are giving, but they're not being blessed. They're not being blessed like they should. People are doing things and not being blessed. And it's a reason because they never deal with their will. You know, you can get religious and just do what religion says to do. And be doing it, but yet not reaping the reward of doing it. And so, we're going to look at those things. Now today, I'm going to go over to John the 15th chapter because we look at some of these scriptures again, because there's some very interesting things that Jesus says to us about will that we want to look at. That here with John the 15th chapter, we're going to look down here at John the 15th chapter. We're going to start with verse 12 because, again, we're going to find this word that was used here as life is the word that's generally translated soul because we want to look at this. We got to identify what something's talking about. Now, in verse 12, it said, this is my command. In other words, Jesus is making a command here. This is not a suggestion. This is a command that you love one another as I've loved you. Jesus said you're supposed to love each other. We're supposed to love each other like he did. That is a command. That is not a suggestion. That is not you pick who you want to like or don't want to like. It is a command. Now, I want you to keep in mind a command. Now, this is a command. Then he says this, greater love has no one than this, than he lays down his life for his friend. Now, again, that word life there is that word for soul. Now, I want to look at this thing, because Jesus is making a statement concerning this love. Greater love has no one than this, and he lays down his life, or we could say lays down his will, or what he wants to do for a friend. And see, he can't be talking about here about physical life, your physical life. And I'll explain that. Because verse 14, he said, you're my friends if you do whatever I command you. In other words, Jesus says this, if you're not doing this, what I commanded in the beginning, you're not my friend. That's what he just got done saying. Huh. Boy, they don't teach that one, do they? Jesus said, you're my friend, what? If you do whatever I command. Oh, if you don't do what I command, you ain't my friend. I don't know how they miss this stuff when it comes. I don't know why I see these things in Scripture. I see this stuff and I think, because people quote this stuff and they, well, you know, Jesus and I are friends. Maybe not. Maybe you and Jesus aren't friends. If you're not doing what he commanded. Hallelujah. But I want you to see this thing. If Jesus is talking about giving up physical, your physical life for a friend, how many of you have died for a friend? Have you died? Well, I guess you didn't fulfill this scripture yet. If he's talking about physical life, I mean, you want to think about this. How many of you know somebody personally who died for another person, trying to save another person? How many of you know anybody? You don't. Well, see, I want you to think about this. This is why it's like, when people read this stuff, they say, give your life. Say, well, I'm willing to give my life for another person. Well, most people think that, well, I would die for somebody. You know, like, I was in the service and I was in Vietnam. You know, and there's people who died, but they didn't die giving up their life for their friend. They just died in combat. I didn't see anybody do, while I was there, I didn't see anybody do extraordinary, heroic thing just specifically to save other people. You know, everybody's just doing their jobs. We're just doing what we did. So, nobody there that I met qualified for these scriptures. If they're talking about physical life. Well, he can't be talking about physical life. He can't be talking about, because no scriptures would be followed. What percentage of Christians would ever be following this scripture? If he was talking about actually giving up your physical life. He is talking about the will of man. In other words, I give up my will and what I want to do on behalf of others. Why? That's just love. That's the way love acts. Love doesn't, you know, it's sort of, you know, I learned over time, you know, as I got saved, that was one of the things God taught me, because, you know, when I was a sinner, I was very selfish and self-centered. And in our marriage, I was very selfish and self-centered. So one big thing God taught me was concerning is loving my wife, is, you know, putting beside things I wanted for what she wanted. And learning to do that. In other words, laying my will down and what I wanted to do and pick up, you know, what does she want to do? And taking that. See, that's what love is. See, that's fulfilling the commandment. I'm laying down my will for another person's will, what they want. See, we don't do that. Like, people lots of times don't do that at all. You know, you just find people. You know, I even find among Christians, they're very selfish. You can't do anything unless they want to do it. They never yield their will to anybody else. You know, I've just learned over time, you know, if somebody wants to do something, well, just do it. It don't matter to me. Whatever. You know, it's one of the big things. Say going on vacation or something like that, whoever's with me, I don't have to have all kinds of things done my will, what I want to do. I'll just say, well, whatever you guys want to do, well, go along with it. You know, I learn how to enjoy. See, it's a joy to walk in love. Loads of Christians haven't learned that yet. They're too centered and self-willed. And you have to learn this. Love is about, that don't mean you make yourself a mat that somebody just walks over all the time what they want to do. Sometimes you might want to do something, that stuff. But I've learned over time how to give up my will to do what somebody else wants. Say, here, yeah, they want to do that, we'll do that. That's okay. You know, I've learned to do with my wife. You know what? You know, I find great pleasure in doing what she wants to do. Make her, if she's happy. Makes me happy if she's happy. And, you know, learning to do that, that I don't have to have my way on everything. What you want to do. And see, learning to do that, it's a great pleasure in life. This is what Jesus is talking about here, is the command is we lay our will down for others. And see, people don't learn that. And I think the church has not, just like with these scriptures, they've just been interpreted, gone over, and people are saying, well, glad I don't have to die for somebody. Well, if that's what it meant, then nobody's walking in love. He couldn't have meant that. He couldn't have meant you physically dying. We know Jesus physically died. But Jesus, we need to understand the big thing that Jesus did was giving up His will. The reason He died is because He gave His will up. He gave His will up for us. That's the biggie. This is the battle in the garden. This is your battle. You're always going to have this battle. This is a battle at sometimes giving up your will. I'm going to tell you, it's not always easy to do, to give up your will for somebody else. See, this is one of the things that the Lord taught me is how, like when I worked at Reese Candy Company, I had to learn to give up my will to my supervisors to do what they want. You know, I would obey them. I was a guy before when I was a sinner. I'd do what they said and gripe the whole time. Never gave up my will a lick. I find Christians do that all the time. They never give up their will. They're griping the whole time. They got to do it. They never stop. Deal with their will. God had to deal with me because, see, I found this out. You're never going to be a happy person as long as you keep your will all the time. Has to be your way. See, that's part of joy in life. If you don't know how to lay down your will, you'll never learn how to be happy. Because why? Life runs contrary all the time to things. It runs contrary to what you'd like to do. But if everything throws you and you have to keep your will, that's why people have a hard time today in America and that stuff. And so many Christians are so distressed about what's going on in our nation. It's because they don't know how to lay, they don't know how to commit themselves to Jesus Christ. They don't have to learn down their will and say, Lord, I'm going to trust myself to you. You're going to help me through this thing. They can't keep their joy because they have their own will and their will is trying to control what's going on in America. I ain't that good. And I ain't that big. So what if I can lay my will down, take my burdens and my cares and give them to the Lord and let Him, say, Lord, I'm turning my will over and these things to you because I can't handle this. And don't go picking it up again. Lay your will down. See, lots of times, this is why people worry. They won't lay their will down. They're asking God to give them peace. God can't give them peace because they won't lay their will down. You got to lay your will down. This is what Jesus came to the place that after He left that garden, He didn't open His mouth. He didn't try to do it. Nothing, nobody. That's a phenomenal act. I'll tell you this. I don't think Ed would have done that well. But He laid it all down. I'm going to tell you what's a phenomenal act. All of His wills and rights. Remember in the garden, the Bible says about it, He could have called like how many legions of angels? He said, I could call them. It came. Yeah. Did He do it? No. I ain't going to follow my will. Whew. He did better than me sometime. I'd have called the angels. I'd have said, send the angels. Hey, get out of here, guys. You know? Get them, boys! You been there? He did a phenomenal thing. And so this is the area that we want to learn to act in and walk in. And in the areas of love, this is where great love is laying down your will. See, we just throw love out there, I think, in the church world is sort of just a general term, and just sort of generally. This is a specific way to love. This is love in its specifics, laying down my will. See, it's one of the things I had to learn this as a young Christian. I had to learn first to lay my will down to what God wanted. Until I learned that, you won't lay your will down to other people. People who can't lay their will down to other people, I just want to say, because they don't lay their will down to God. They won't do it. They'll keep fighting about their own will. You have to learn to do that. You have to learn to say, well, you know, learn it. And it isn't something you catch on quickly to. When I started off as a young Christian, that was a lot of work for me, you know, God had really dealt with me in some very direct ways concerning, you know, things. I remember, you know, Wanda was doing, I was just a young Christian, and, And I went to the Lord about it because she was sort of bucking the system on some things. And I went to the Lord about it. And him dealing with me, it was the fact of he dealt with me about, he wasn't concerned at all what she was doing. It was my response to what she was doing. That's what he was interested in. My response. Well, I had a couple incidents like that. But you know, I thank God it didn't take me long to figure it out. Is don't go to God griping about them until I know I'm straight. That's about, you know, that there thing that Jesus said about taking the plank out of your eye. If you wonder what that was about, you don't think you ever went through it? Well, then you still got the plank in your eye. I learned about it. I had to take the plank out of my eyes so you could get the speck out of the other person's eye. But I found out this concerning Eve with Wanda. I found out that when I would get the plank out of my eye, it wasn't as hard to deal with the situation and how you could get things to turn around. See, that's why we're looking at their mistakes or somebody else's mistakes and not looking or not laying our will down. We're looking at, you know, I want to have my way in this thing. I want to get my way. You know, your way may be the right way, but I'm just going to say this to you. Attitude's anything. I don't care if you're doing right and your attitude's wrong. You're in sin. I don't care if you're doing what's right. Your attitude ain't right. And I found out this. My attitude lots of time was tied to my will. I wasn't willing to lay something. I wasn't willing to do something. So we all deal with this. You know, don't hit yourself over the head with it. It's part of growing up spiritually. It's just part of what it is. It's just, you're working through this stuff. So, you know, just keep yourself out. Keep yourself happy. Don't get yourself discouraged about this. You know, Jesus, you know, there's some people sometimes have had to die. People have been persecuted and put to death for the gospel's sake. I've been willing to do that through history. In fact, martyrdom in the worldwide, martyrdom is in a greater measure today than it is at about any time in history. Martyrdom, worldwide. And those things are going in. The enemy, his whole purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. But we're supposed to walk in the areas of life, hallelujah, and continue in life. I want to read this to you in 1 John 3 and verse 16. Says this. It says, by this we know love, because what he laid down his life, or we would say that same word, the soul, he laid down his life, his will, what he wanted to do for us. He says, by this we know love. Well, what do we know love? See, we know love is laying down your will. Love is laying down your will. See, we want to lay our will down to the will of God. What does he want to do? We want to put our will aside. See, people talk about love all the time. But it isn't that. It's all, most people, when love is some kind of feeling somebody's doing, we're getting along real sweet. You get people get along real sweet, but still are self-willed. Because you'll always find out eventually if they don't get their way. You're going to hear about it. It's going to come up. And so, but this is what Jesus is saying here about this is, we know love. So love's laying down. It says that we also ought to lay down our lives or our will or what we want for the brother. So in the same manner, we do the same thing. Hallelujah. My will and what I want. We need to be very concerning, careful. It doesn't mean that you just do anything that other people want to do. There's sometimes you just got to stop and say, no, what people want to do is wrong to do, and we ain't going in that direction. You'll find out this is where weak-willed people have a problem. They go along with things because they don't want any hassle. They don't want anybody hassling me, give me a hard time, you know. We're going along with, I found out over time when you stop and say, no, I can't go along with that. Boy, I'll tell you, it causes a ruckus. You know, people don't like that. You know, it is one of the things of it is learning to do this with people. You know, you might feel clear in your heart to do certain things, but somebody else don't push them. They have to come to the point that they know it's all right for them to do. You know, God may lead you in a direction and it's not for another person. Many times what we try to do is get everybody to go the direction I'm going. We need to be careful because that person has to follow the will of God in their life. Maybe he wants them to do something else. And we need to understand. I remember years ago there was a pastor. I was in a church and he wanted me to, well, number one, I knew this guy that he was following after. I knew he was messed up. He was a so-called prophet, but if he was a prophet, I'm Jesus Christ. This guy was messed up. But he followed after and he got in with this group of people. And this guy, you know, told the pastor that he wanted a church started, you know, down in Allentown. And the pastor told him, he said to me, you go down there and you pastor that church. Well, you know, I believe in following, but I told him, say, God didn't call me to it. and you ain't been God lately. So, but I said, I ain't going to do it. Well, you ought to obey because I'm in charge. Well, I said, we ain't going there. We don't go that far. There's one thing. See, I knew God didn't call me to it, and it sure proved itself out that God didn't call me to it. And even with that minister. But see, just obeying, you can't, you got to walk what's in your heart. And I told him, I said, you don't have any concern or love for me at all, do you? And he really looked at me stupid. I said, because you're trying to push me past my own will. I said, that's a sin for me to do what's wrong my heart to do. See, we need to understand that, what's in your heart to do. Lots of times people in charge try to do that to people. If a person's not, it's not in their heart to do it, you know, if God can't work it out in their heart, that's their problem. It's not my job. That's not my job to try to work that out in them. That's between them and God. Maybe they are supposed to do it, but they need to know that. They need to do it. There's one thing as I've learned this in over time. It's like I learned it early with Kenneth Hagin talked about the fact of going into ministry. He said, you don't go into ministry because grandma said that God called you or somebody else said, or because you just have a witness in your heart or something. He said, you better know God spoke to you about it. And the reason of it is when you go to do it, if you aren't really sure of it, you'll quit because there's going to be a lot of things that are going to make you want to quit. It's like with me. I've stayed in it all these years. Why? Because I know what God called me to do. That's how you stand. Because I'm assured of that fact. And see, that's what you need to know. Doesn't matter what everybody else is doing, everybody else saying. It's about your own heart. Because when it comes down to rough and tough, if your will ain't really in it, you're done. Your will's not really in it. You just, you know, sort of did it. You know, I'm gonna be the fair weather minister, you know. It's really nice. We're gonna be in it. When it ain't nice, we're getting out. See, you got to come to the place where you know, and you can stand in it because you know that that's what God's called you to do. You got to come to that place. You have to know in your own heart, and your will can be set to that. So then you can have a strong will. See, I have a very strong will in that area because I know for a fact. And so this is when we're dealing with the will here. Well, in this area here, we're talking about love. Well, this love, it says for us, he said, so we ought to lay down our lives or our will or what we want to do for the brethren. We talked about this before in using the scripture, you know, concerning the Lord's Prayer. In the Lord's Prayer, Matthew in verse 6 and 9 and 10, it says, in this manner, therefore, pray our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth like in heaven. Now, I want you to think about that. It's praying. We talked about this before. See, people open up and pray the Lord's Prayer, and everybody focuses on this thing in the beginning. Then they teach on prayer from there on. No, you start right there on prayer. If you're not going to, God's will is never going to be done on this earth unless you and I will ourselves to do it. It ain't going to ever happen. God's will not get done in the earth. Now, when the millennial reign starts, His will get done in the earth because He's going to rule it with a rod of iron. He's going to make sure they got to do it. That's it. But meanwhile, in between, you and I have a will concerning His will. His will be done on earth like it is in heaven. Well, Jesus commanded us to walk in love is to lay our life or our will down. So we're commanded. See, that's part of God's will getting done. See, if people don't learn to do these things, then God's will don't get done in the earth. It doesn't get done here. See, we can pray these prayers all we want. But see, there's always the God part and the my part. God will always do His part if you do your part. Now remember that. We can use an if there. God will always do His part if you do yours. See, what we want, God, you do your part, and then I'll decide whether or not I want to jump in on this or not. I know you never thought like that. That was just me. That was out of my head. You know, we want God in His will. Well, God, you know, whatever He wants to do. Yes, what God wants to do. But there's my part that I play in this. The will of God is not done in the earth without the will of man. And so we want to walk in the light of that. Hallelujah. So God's will in the earth, it can only be done through those who yield to His will, decide that they want to do His will. If you want to do His will, that's your desire. Now, you may start off and you want to do the will of God, but some things are hard to do. And it's as I was saying, you may take you time to develop in that, where you get yourself over. You know, you may have to do what Jesus did in the garden. You're going to have to go in there and say, God, I want to do your will, but I'm having trouble at this. You know I want to do your will. There's no doubt about this. I want to do your will. I want to do it. And when I leave this room, I'm not so sure about where I'm going to. Lord God, I need help. I need to get myself going here to doing this. It's one of the things is just like in these teachings here we're doing. There's things that I understood in the scriptures about the will of God, but God has given me a whole lot of stuff since I decided to sit down. And I'll tell you this accurately. A lot of this stuff I didn't get by study. It came from revelation. I would just all of a sudden these scriptures would start coming to me and go look at this, go look at that. And I'd start looking at things. See, that's the gift in operation. It isn't me being a rocket scientist. It's not that I'm so spiritual. That's the gift. That's the, just the teaching gift works like that, where God will reveal things to me and show me things in the gift. See, I can't sit down and say, boy, Ed's really smart and found that out. That ain't the way it works. It's the gift. If you don't have the gift like I do, don't think you're weird. That's just a gift. But that gift is not for me. It's for you. You need to understand that. That's what it's for. A gift is to give. It gives things to other people. Now, I get blessed by it if I pay attention to it, but I don't get no more blessed than you do if I don't pay attention to it, what the gift brings. I got to listen to it in the same manner. I have to too. So the revelation comes because of the gift. Hallelujah. But if we want the will of God, and we should pray, God, we do want your will done in earth. And God, I want to cooperate with your will. That's what I want to do. I want to cooperate with your will and not my will. Now, understand this. You don't know everything about the will of God, do you? Or what all he wants to do, do you? No, you're learning. You're like everybody else. There's none of us different than that. This is a progressive thing of learning the will of God. This is why with renewing your mind, the Word of God, listening to teaching, studying the Word, you have to do that to find out the will. When I look at Scripture, the full will of God is this fact. God wants days of heaven in the earth. Well, boy, we have that in America, don't we? Well, why don't we? Well, man is either disobedient to the will of God or he don't even know what it is. If we want to see it, what is that? Then we got to find out about the will of God. Find out from Scripture. How do I cooperate with the will of God? How do I respond to the will of God? What do I do? See, these are things you want to learn to do concerning your own will. And so these are things that we need to find out as Christians. We don't think you're weird, something's wrong. There's stuff that you can't do the will of God in because you don't even know what it is. There's stuff that you know a little bit about the will of God. I found this with myself. There's stuff that you know a little bit about the Word of God. You have enough to know something ought to work, but it don't. Ever been there? See, I caught on to this early when Kenneth Hagin, I started listening to his teaching. I learned early as a young Christian, he talked about this fact when he was in a deathbed as a young boy, 16 years old, he's dying. He's in a deathbed. They said nobody with his, just the blood thing of he had trouble with, nobody had ever lived past the age of 16 with that problem. And he's in his 16th year, so like this is soon lights out. But he's in this thing. But anyhow, he finds out and he gets a revelation about healing from Mark 11:24, but he didn't have the full revelation. And he made a statement to the Lord, and he talked about this. And I caught this thing as soon as he said it, and I knew it was important, but I didn't know how important it was going to be later on. But the Lord spoke to him concerning, and he said, well, I believe concerning Mark, I believe it's true, and concerning healing, and he made this statement. And the Lord said this to him, you believe as far as you know. Well, that really rung a bell with me when he said, believe as far as you know. So it just rang a bell to me. You know, sometimes we believe to a certain point, but we don't have enough information to believe all that we need to know to bring it to pass. Well, what the Lord did was gave him a revelation, a further revelation, and he saw it. And when he saw it, he ended up getting healed. But he would not have gotten healed if he would have stayed as far in that revelation as he was. He wouldn't have got healed. See, I found this out. It's one of the major problems is Christians have in this area concerning healing. Is they never believe they've received their healing. They're always trying to get it. See, as far as you know. See, I've had to do funerals of wonderful Christian people who I tried to tell them, you're believing as far as you know, and they wouldn't listen to you. They're this thing. They're always trying to get their healing. Well, I'm just believing God for my healing. I think, well, when are you going to believe you received it? They don't ever believe they received it. Always trying to get it. Always trying to get healed. The Bible tells you to believe you receive. Whatever you ask for, you believe you receive it at the time that you ask. See, that changes prayer life completely different. I'll tell you, when I got that revelation, I was fortunate. I was a young Christian. I know why that just dawned on me. Listen to Brother Hagin. In my first year, in fact, it was in the first few months of my Christianity that I heard him say that, and I caught that thing, and I thought, well, I got on to healing like that. I didn't wait for years in that stuff. Thank God. Somebody said, well, how come you got, I don't know. It just clicked with me on that thing, and I saw it, and it's like, wow. I believe I receive it. And I saw that. But I watched as I went on. People have a revelation that God wants them well. They have those things. They have, well, you can pray. You do. They have those parts. But they don't have the whole revelation. There's part that's missing out of that. And that part that's missing, you need to come to that place because that's where you can turn around. You can learn to stand. Then you can turn around. See, you get into difficulty. Well, see, I got the whole revelation. I got the whole thing. This is what people need to get. People are always working at this Christianity instead of receiving the life, walking in the light of the life. They're always trying to get the life in the light. They're always trying to get that instead of revelation comes. If you're working something and it ain't changing and you just know inside. Now, you're going to learn to listen on the inside and you know it ain't hooking up. Stop. Don't just keep going on with your little confessions and all that kind of stuff. You ain't going to go nowhere. You're going to be down the road in just the same old mess you've been in. You know, I've just learned sometimes I just don't know. Sometimes I just need to put, I have enough revelation that can point me in a direction, but I don't know it all yet. We're trying to receive something. It's somebody trying to do something. I mean, you won't take your car to the garage to have the transmission fixed. And the guy, he knows about how stick shifts work. And you got an automatic. I say, gee, would you work on my car, please? You know, I just want you. Well, that's what Christians do. Christians are like that. They know how one thing works and they just jump over on something else. And I'm just going to, they never take the time and say, you know, we ought to read a few manuals before we go over here and ditch into this thing. We ought to get some information about this, of how it works. They don't. They'll just jump right over and they'll play there and play around, talk about being in faith and ain't ever been in faith on a thing. Have not, and doing that. See, learn about yourself. Learn what you can do. Learn what you can set your will to and what you can. I've learned over time, listen to my spirit. You know, I know that I'm setting this thing. It ain't working. It ain't working. I've had things where I've had to go to God and say, Lord, I've been moving this direction. And I'll just be honest with you. I don't know what's going on here. And this ain't no bad confession. It's a downright truth. Somehow I ain't hooking up on this thing. See, people, you know what you get around these faith fanatics? Oh, don't ever say such a thing like that. Well, that idiot will stay as dumb as he is as long as he lives. When it ain't working, you ain't making a bad confession say it ain't working. It's a bad confession and a lie to say it is when it ain't. It ain't working. Say, Lord, I can see there's something I need to know. There's something I don't understand. Now, I don't do this once in a while. I do this often with God. Because I see things in Scripture and I say, Lord, that's really interesting. But Lord, what is that really about? What is it? I don't know. I don't understand. I want some light. See, you ain't going to get light where you don't ask for it. If you think you already know it, what on earth do you need light for? Ask and you shall receive. Seek, you'll find. Knock, it'll be opened unto you. See, the faith movement has made a lot of hard-headed Christians not wanting to do it, but do it because we don't teach the whole side. We teach one side of just, you know, confession and make you saying the right thing and doing the right thing. And we don't over this other side and teaching about your will and stuff and say, you know, understanding, I can't hook up with this thing. There's nothing matter with saying you can if you can. Ain't no use going on with it. You can play all the games you want, but it's not going to work. And you ain't weird because it ain't working. There's nothing wrong with you. You just need some information. You just don't know something. You know, God never expected you to know everything. You wouldn't need the Holy Ghost if you did. Why would you need the Holy Spirit? No, we need a teacher because you ain't bright without Him. You ain't smart without him. I've learned that a long time ago. If I have any wisdom, it had to come from God, because before I got the Holy Spirit, I didn't have any wisdom. So it must come from God. Hallelujah. Get yourself settled in that fact. There's things that I need to know. I need to be able to hook on. You know, we use scriptures and people say, well, all things are possible to him that believeth. And we say that with great profoundness, and it is true as a scripture. But I'd say, well, can you believe all things? Can you get it? Yeah. Well, I don't know. Can you make everything work? No. You know, it's a target to shoot at. But it didn't hit the end of that target yet. All it tells me is I run into a situation. I know there's a possibility. There's an answer to this thing. I might have to find out what it is. I don't know what it is yet. But we quote it like there's some kind of great profoundness just because you know that scripture. Well, that don't mean you can ever get anything working just because you know that scripture. You got to know what it takes to get there. That's what counts, and that's where you want to come to, that you see yourself. So don't get discouraged. Don't get yourself all messed up. You're growing. Don't consider yourself, you know, as arriving so much as you really are. If you think you're brighter than what you really are, that's a problem. Being too big-headed, thinking you're smarter. No, there's one thing as I've come to, is I've got humbled too many times in my intelligence. Where I came to think, well, I guess I wasn't as smart as I thought I was. And you come to that place and say, well, God, I need help. You know, please help me. But it's coming to that place. It is not a bad place. It is not a place of faithlessness. Anything that's true is good. Knowing your weaknesses is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. You know, there's certain things that, you know, take people with talents and stuff. There's certain things I'm naturally talented in doing, and there's some things I'm not. And I've learned to give those things that I'm not talented in to somebody that is. You know what that is? That's called wisdom. You know, my dad was a bit prideful in those areas. He'd always try to fix what he couldn't and end up messing it up more until he had to turn around and buy something new that could have been fixed. If he would have just left it to somebody that knew how to fix it. Knowing what you can and you can't. You know, certain things over time I've learned I'd like to try to fix it and that stuff. I think, you know, I'd really like to keep this though, and I don't want to play with it. If I knew what was going on, I'd get over here at it, but I better give it to somebody else and let them do it because I want to keep it. Because if I get in there with it, we may have to buy something new. You know? Understand it about yourself. That's your life's like that as a Christian. You need to understand. You need to understand somebody that has wisdom that you don't. I'm going to tell you what. There's people that have wisdom in areas that teach it. You need to learn to listen to other people. Don't think you've arrived at some place. I've learned that. It's one of the reasons I go to meetings. I sit down and listen to what somebody else says. Listen to what because they'll have wisdom. God don't give every teacher and every minister the same revelations. You're not going to follow one person and get everything you need. You're not, because why would God put in the church all these gifts, but you don't need them? I have the Holy Spirit. I always see people say, I have the Holy Spirit, and I can learn myself and that stuff. And I tell them, when you get in trouble, remember, it's just you. Don't you call me. Don't you call me. It's just you and the Holy Ghost. Let's see how this works. It don't work so pretty. It's just you and the Holy Ghost. See, we want to listen to other people because other people get revelations. They get understanding. They get things from people. I get enlightened all the time. I see things. You know, it's one of the things that I read a book. It was just on the basics of the will. When I started reading it, I thought God gave a simple revelation. This guy wrote a simple book, but it's such a wonderful revelation, so simple, that when the Lord told me, he said, you know, go over and teaching this, I looked at his and I thought, you know, I'm getting into it much deeper, a lot deeper than the book did. But, I said, man, that foundation that God gave him is a wonderful foundation for anybody to hear or see. I said, man, that was God-given, what he got. That was God-given that can open up the doors to all kinds of things that people could see. But that revelation, you know, and I'll tell you what, there's a lot of Christians, there's a lot of ministers, loads of ministers don't have the revelation about the will of man. Loads of ministers don't understand it. You know, they say, oh, we are free will agents. And then they go on and teach grace. Well, it's good to teach grace. But you need to understand about yourself. See, this is one of the things when I got saved, God started teaching Ed about himself. How does the Word of God, how does the gospel fit to me? God never dealt with me as just a general person in the body of Christ. He's always dealt with me specifically, about me. He doesn't deal with me generally. God deals with me, I may teach subjects and things in general, but God dealing with me will deal with me specifically about me. What I need to know, what I need to do, what I need not to do, he's dealing with me, and that's what you want to be. See, people talk about a personal relationship with Jesus. The average Christian never has a perfect, personal relationship with Jesus. Their relationship with Jesus is through somebody else's teaching, somebody else's, what God deals with them. See, I can sit and tell my stories all I want, but what about yours? You got to have them too. See, I'm telling you this because I know how God's dealt with me and how God, I can't teach me how to teach you how what God's dealt with you with. I can only teach what God's dealt with me with. I can put it in the light of those things. And so you need this thing where there's personal, how God deals with you personally. I learned how he deals with me personally. You know, everybody, every one of us sitting here, we have differences in personalities, and there's nothing wrong with that. God didn't make everybody who was supposed to be the same. When I come into the kingdom, they started this nonsense of things and started all this personality stuff and these tests you take, and they were doing these crazy things, trying to make everybody fit into a category. I'm sorry. That wasn't nothing but the devil getting into church. You're not some category to God. You're an individual human being that Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for. You're an individual that God loved personally. That God, look, you weren't this general shed blood thing and threw it out there and said, okay, you guys, good luck. How's this all going to work out? No, it was you personally. And see, a personal relationship, you want to have a personal relationship with that God. You want to be able to hear him and let him deal with you and work with you because he's personally interested in you. He's not just interested in you and your place. God's not just interested in me and standing in my office as a teacher and minister. He's interested in me as a human being, as a person, and my life. It's not all about what I can do for him. He wants that friend. You ain't a friend with nobody if you're only with them because what they can do for you. You ain't no friend. See, we can get this thing, and look at it. God wants to be our friend. That's what he wants. He wants to reveal himself as a friend to us. He wants to be friendly with me. That, you ain't going to come. When you mess up, you ain't coming boldly to the throne of the grace if he ain't a friend. You can run to a friend. Say, man, I'm in a mess. And the friend says, yeah, no, but come on. We'll do I'll tell you how to get there and how to get you out. That's a friend. That's what he does. He's a real friend. Hallelujah. He laid his will down, and I've learned over time, I can trust it. I can lay my will down to him. He won't hurt me. He's not out to get me. He's out to help me. I can lay my will down to him. And see, that's what you want to, that's what you want to go to. You don't have to fight it. Take your time maybe to learn that, but you want that personal relationship. I want to share you with something from James. Let's go to James, the fourth chapter. James is one of my favorite books because of this thing. James, I can understand. James, I like because James is just blunt, straight to the point. See, I like him. See, a lot of Christianity don't like James because, they don't like any discomfort. I've been talking about getting into James and Mike Arendo. God's been having him in the book of James. He's talking about the book of James. But it is, I'll tell you what, God took me over the book of James, and I just realized the wonderful revelations I've gotten out of the book of James. It's like, wow. I'm just doing more teaching in that area, more things James had. But I want to look at James, the fourth chapter, because we're going to look at something about the will of man. What James says. James comes on in James, the fourth chapter, verse 13 says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. In other words, this person set their will to do a certain thing. As he said, we will. In other words, this is what we're going to. In other words, I have this plan. And I want you to identify this. Get this idea out. He's just using an illustration here. This could be anything in your life. I have set my will to do a certain thing. Now, I want to understand this. You need to understand this because, see, we live a life of faith. It's a faith walk. I may set my faith in a direction to walk. So it doesn't have to be I'm going to go to the city and make some money. What am I setting my will to do? I'm moving my will to do something. He said, so he's showing us that someone has set their will to do something. Then he says, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? He said, it is a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. He said this, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Now, I want you to understand this because we want to talk about the importance of this. He goes on to say, but now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does it not, it's evil. To him, it is sin. Now, I want you to see that. When there's certain scriptures that when they preach, we pull out, but they're pulled out. Look at them in their context. He's dealing with this as doing something evil. What the person did was evil. Now, setting their will in direction. Now, we want to talk about this because he said here, a person who does this, who says, I'm going to go do this. What they're doing, he's talking about an individual who is not open. Does God want to do something else? You folks, how many times have you heard me say about one of the things I learned Kenneth Hagin in prayer school at Rhema? Go to prayer school. I listened to Brother Hagin pray. It was one of the things that really caught me, and I've learned to really help me in my spiritual life of learning to listen to God. He would pray about a certain thing and set a direction for certain things, and then he's saying about, Lord, you want to do something else, you let me know. I'll do whatever you want to in this situation. See, you might think you know what an answer is to a situation and you're moving in that direction, but you may not know. See, if God wants to do something else, you need to be willing to change. See, what he's talking about is somebody sets themselves and just goes, does it, but doesn't consider God in between that and say, hey, well, if the Lord's willing, I'm going to go do this. In other words, this is a person doing the right thing. It's a sin not to set yourself toward God. Say, look, I'm setting myself in my direction here. But God, now, if you want me to do something else, I'm always going to keep my heart open to you, what you want to do. We need to understand this. Another thing that helped me in this area was a thing that Kenneth Hagin taught. Now, I'm old school. I'm back to when I was a kid, started growing up back in the early 50s and that stuff. The majority of the cars did not have power steering, nor did they have automatic transmissions. I mean, there were automatic transmissions, but that was in general. A lot of people were driving sticks, and power steering was ever how much power you had in your arms. That was power steering. And Kenneth Hagin used that example. He said about being led by the Spirit. He said sometimes, he said, it's like those cars, you know. See, he said, it's easier to steer a car without power steering when it's moving than when it is sitting still. Now, I don't know if you remember. I remember as a kid, you'd get out there and get in the car, and it's sitting still, and you'd want to turn the steering wheel. And it would just jerk back on you. And you'd try and turn it there and turn it. You'd get those wheels turned. See, if you didn't live my day, you don't know about this stuff. If you've known all about all the automatic stuff, you didn't live back there then. You know, when a car was sitting still, it was hard to steer. It wasn't no easy. You know, it was, you know, like you get out in the farm equipment. It wasn't easy to turn. So that it was hard. So when you got the car moving, I mean, steering was completely a different thing. It was a whole lot better. And so it wasn't wonderful, but it was a whole lot better. And you could tell the difference between a non-power steering car and a power steering car. You could definitely tell the difference. But he said with walking with God was the same way. He said, sometimes you're not going to find out the will of God till you set yourself to do something. And when you start heading that direction, listen, God may, you may pick up then. Don't head in this direction. Now I want you to get a hold of this because you're going to find out the people who don't do this miss God a lot. Miss God a lot. Because people set themselves in a direction. Well, you know, God ain't saying it. There's many times I've come along and, well, God's going to not say anything about this. This is their thing. I don't have a don't do or head that direction. I'm going to head that direction. I'll start to move in that direction. And all of a sudden I just know inside, no, don't do that. Don't do that. See, you gotta listen. In the inside of you, when you get this, I'm not talking about a voice from heaven. Just somehow I know, nah, don't do that. But you know what? I'd have never known that till I stepped in that direction. This is what James ain't talking about some weird thing. He's talking about a person, I'm going to go do this, they don't listen to God. And he's trying to tell you, hey, hold it. What about the will of God? James basically telling us it's a sin to do that, what they're doing here, just setting their direction and not paying attention to God. It's a sin to do that. See, we are trying to. I don't know everything and everything. You know, God may have something better planned for me, and I'm taking, there's A, B, and C, and, you know, A's the best, and B's pretty good, and C's just, you know, get by. You know, sometimes I choose C. God has A planned. But I may not know what that is right away, but sometimes to find the will of God, you got to step out in a direction. You got to step in something. You know, many people are sitting waiting for God to do something with them, and they're going to be sitting there next year and a year after and a year after not doing a thing. Because they never step out for God to direct them into anything. They're always just sitting. And I found that was really a good revelation. When I heard Kenneth Hagin talk about that, I thought about it. Hey, that was good, because sometimes you're not picking anything up, but you got to step out there and move. Sometimes it just takes faith to step out and move. People don't like to do that. They like to know the answer to everything before they go to it. That ain't faith. To know the answer before you get there, you wouldn't need any faith to walk in it. You'd already know it. See, God gives us a part, and that's what you need to learn, is about that part that He gives you. He gives you a part. You get a sense. You know, get a sense you ought to do something sometimes. I'll just move in a direction. And I get sometimes. Sometimes I get, well, it's clear. Just go ahead. Sometimes, nah, don't do that. Okay. That wasn't the thing. That wasn't it. So, you know, you have to learn that. That's part of growing up, is learning things, is learning to listen to the Spirit. That's what James is dealing with here in this area. It's about an individual going out here. I'm setting myself in a direction, and this is what I'm going to do. James went as far as calling this person who does this is arrogant. They're being arrogant to do this kind of thing. They're being boastful. I'm going to go down here and I'm going to make money and I'm going to do this. You know, I've watched this in the people in so-called, you know, the faith movement in the areas of finances, you know, that everything, you know, is finances and, you know, it's making money is really a big spiritual thing. You know, sometimes it's not a spiritual thing, and sometimes God wants you to do something else. Sometimes God sends you the direction and don't look like you're going to make any money doing it. Maybe it don't look like you're going to lose it to do the will of God. You have to learn to do that. You always have to learn God's going to bless you, you know. I've learned over time in those things just in the areas of giving is listen to God. Sometimes I gave a lot more away than was coming in. Don't make no sense. Doesn't make a bit of sense. But I knew in my heart what I was supposed to do. I just knew in the inside to do it. Well, God turned around and blessed me, but it didn't seem like that. Could it seem like I could have done something else better to make, you know, let's get a little more money, cash flow here going before we do this. But see, following the will of God, and that's what you want to do is learn to follow. James is not talking about, you don't do this concerning healing. Now, you do want to listen to God. He may tell you a certain thing to do or not to do or something that's been a hindrance to your healing. He may speak to you to that. But when you set yourself to faith, God wants you well. We got to clear on that fact. Jesus took you in front. It's like, you know, a person who's making a confession to be saved by Jesus Christ, he don't have to stop and see if it's God's will for him to be saved. The Scripture tells us. James is clear on what he's talking about through it. This is making decisions in your life to do something. Always keep God involved in your decisions. Always keep your heart turned toward God. Be willing to listen to what God says. No matter how much right you think you have or whatever else, pay attention. Listen to God. Always give Him an opportunity. I mean, what James is basically calling doing that without keeping God's will in, it's a sin to do that. It's a sin. See, when we look at sin, well, my God, he did a sin. This person did this and did that. How many people consider bypassing the will of God as being a sin? No, they don't at all. We don't teach, preach none of that. We teach, well, the big sins, you know, the physical things. I'm going to tell you, the biggest sins as we do is what we do on the inside and not acknowledging God and walk on. Spiritual sins are worse than physical sin. The church preaches all about physical sins. We need to own this. It's like the Lord spoke to me years ago when I was a young Christian. He said, attitude's everything. He said, you do the right thing, but your attitude stinks. He said, what you do stinks. In other words, it's a sin. Get your attitude right. You don't do it because you have to. You get to doing good because you want to. I want to do this because I want to. Now, I want to read you some things because in the Scriptures, we're going to look here at Apostle Paul. I'm going to read scripture to you. Acts 18, we'll read some scriptures here of what Paul, concerning setting direction with his will, in Acts the 18th chapter, in verse 20, it says, when they asked him to stay a longer time with them, he did not consent, but took leave of them saying, so this is what he said when he's leaving, I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem, but I will return again to you, God willing. And he sailed from Ephesus. In other words, Paul intended to come back to them, but he said, well, in other words, this is what he wanted to do. But he said, God willing. In other words, well, let's see how God turns this out. This is what I want to do, but this is what God, if he has something else he wants me to do, I won't be going back to Ephesus. God says no. See, he may see a great deal. Let me say this, and you need to get this. Now, I know as a minister in dealing and teaching the word, sometimes I can look and see in people's lives there's certain teaching that they need. I can see by what they're doing that there's things they don't understand. But I've learned this a long time ago. You don't teach people on the subjects you see people having problems in. God may have something else he wants to do. So I've had a ready with certain people. I'd love to do some messages on some certain things, and God never gives me the freedom to go do that. But see, God knows everything that's going on. See, this is what, do the will of God. What does God want me to teach? Oh! Say, well, God, I think it ought to be this. And God says, well, I want you to teach this. See, you got to learn to do that. See, I got to learn to set my will. Not see, Paul's looking and saying, you know, I want to go back to these people. But if God's not in it, I ain't going back. Even though I'd like to go back and there's things maybe I'd like to preach, teach them. And say, God's not in it. Nope, I ain't going there. See, you got to learn to do that. Have you? Don't take it because you think somebody has some situation and you think about, well, you know, what you could do to fix that thing. You better listen to the will of God. Learn to do that. See, the church don't do that. The church goes today, well, you know, if somebody's hurting, you take care of everything. No, you don't. You listen to the will of God, what he says about there. Some people, God's going to have you bypass, even though you know what you could do to fix them. You need to listen to God for you of what he wants you to do. Whether sometimes to do something about it or sometimes not do something about it. Because this, you don't know why people are in this situation. They have maybe know exactly what to do and won't do it. God won't keep coming back and helping somebody fix it for them. He won't do that. See, you need to learn that with even raising your own kids and grandkids and whatever else. You need to learn to what listen to God on things instead of, well, you know, I'm smart, I know. Well, in my life, this is the way we did it. Well, it don't matter what the way you did it. What does God want to do? Hallelujah. That may change some things. Well, here we have Paul at the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. 1 Corinthians, 4th chapter, verse 18, it says, now some are puffed up as though I were not coming to you, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. So here Paul needs season here. There's something needs corrected and something needs to be done. But Paul understands this. He goes, I'm going to come to you. In other words, I'm going to come and get this stuff straightened out if God wills. He sees what the problem is, but he's not jumping saying, hey, I'm going to stop what I'm doing because this needs fixed. I need to come in and get this thing corrected. No, he had enough sense to say, maybe God won't send me there to correct it. Maybe he won't. See, he's leaving space for if God has something else to be done. You know, Paul might see what the problem is, but maybe God's going to send somebody else to fix it. Yeah. Maybe you're not the guy. Oh, it's hard to believe. I'm so wonderful that I wouldn't be the guy that would have to take care of it. My words, I'm so great. It must be me. It's another thing I learned from Kenneth Hagin was very good. He said about this, he said, you know, generally, God's not going to use you to reach your family. Oh boy, I wish you'd get to cross out to Christians. They think they ain't going to listen to you anyhow. They ain't going to admit you know anything because they'd have to give up all their pride to think. You know, I found out with my brothers and sisters there, you know. See, I know things I can do spiritually to change things spiritually, but God used other people, you know. My sister, she was, you know, in her 80s, laying on her deathbed. My brother gives me a call and says, Their sister Helen's died in 07. Helen was on her way to hell is where Helen was going. Helen would never have anything to do with God. She wouldn't have anything. She hated it. She didn't have anything. But you know, the Lord had spoken to me, and God talked to me back in 1983 and told me, because you've done my will and walked where I've told you to do, I'm going to bring all your brothers and sisters in. That's what he said. Well, I've never prayed. And my brother called and said about praying for my sister Helen. I said, I ain't praying for my sister Helen. I said, God said if I walked in his way and did everything, he'd bring her in. And I said, if I need to change anything or I missed it, I will. But I said, I ain't praying for her. It's about me getting straight. I said, God said he was going to do it. Well, either he lied or not. And if I have to pray to get him to do what he said he'd do, he ain't worth it anyhow. And I said, I'm not praying for her. I said, she will not leave this earth till she gets saved. I said, the Lord said he's going to bring all my family in. She's my family. He's going to bring all my brothers and sisters in. And so you know what? God didn't say, you run down to Florida and witness the gospel to that. Because I knew this. She ain't listening to nobody in the family. She was hard-headed. My God. But you know what? God sent a Korean lady into the hospital to see her. And she accepted Christ. Sent a Korean lady and preached the gospel to her. And I heard from my other sister, said a Korean lady told her, said, when I went in that room, she said, God showed up in that room. She said, the power of God came in. Hallelujah. See, my job was this, to believe God would do what he told me he'd do. Not me to pray things out. I didn't have to pray nothing. God said he was going to do it. David never had to pray 2 seconds that the Messiah would come through him. God said it. Why would he have to pray about it? That's God's promise. There was no, you know, God didn't tell me. God said he was going to bring all my brothers and sisters in because of something I had done. In other words, this was a reward to me for obedience. It wasn't, I got to do something now to make this happen. So you got to learn this stuff. Makes sense. God tells people it's going to happen and they ruin the whole thing. Something comes along and they act like God lied about it and they got to pray and make it work. Bring a devil in and God's promise goes out the window. This is good preaching, folks. When God tells me certain things going to happen, well, you know, then he said it. You know, I didn't make it up. He did it. And he'll bring it to pass. He'll make it happen. Glory to God. But see, walking in light of these things. In other words, the will of God. What are we going to do is follow the will of God. Yielding yourself. See, my yielding myself to the will of God has blessed all my brothers and sisters. Just because I follow the will of God. Setting my will to do his will. He said, because you've done what I told you to do and walk like I've told you to, I'm going to bring all your brothers and sisters in. People will pray night and day and night and day for people in their family rather than walk right. I'm going to tell you, walk right. Don't bother praying if you ain't going to walk right. Okay, I'll just go over here. You walk right, God wants to reward you. I would have never thought that he would ever say to me, I'll bring all your brothers and sisters in because you didn't. That blew my mind. Took me a little while to get that wrapped around in my head. It's like, wow. Make sure I heard that, didn't I? I did hear that. Hallelujah. Amen. Doing the will of God. I'm going to tell you, do the will of God. You walk in the will of God. See, always set to yourself. That's a Paul. Paul's walking in the will of God. Look how Paul's ministry blessed people. You and I are blessed today because of Paul's ministry. Think about that. He did the will of God. See, the will of God was first. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 6 and 7. And it may be that I will remain or even spend the winter with you, that you may send me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay a while with you if the Lord permits. See, he's telling, he has this plan. He has this thing. You know, this is what he wants to do. But it's at the end of it is this. Look, God wants to do something else. I'm going to do whatever God wants. See, he may see the need of what he needs to do. I mean, the church of Corinth definitely needed some work on. They needed some work on them. They did. But he didn't put it down as, hey, I'm the guy that got to fix this. He realizes he's not God. He needs to do the will of God because the best for anybody is when you do the will of God. Always get that in your mind. You're not shortchanging anybody because you turn around and, well, they need this done. And God's saying, no, go do this. God's not trying to mess up your life. He's trying to bring blessing. And so get into that. In the book of Hebrews, Hebrews the 6th chapter, verse 1, it says, And again, this is the Apostle Paul. He says, therefore, leaving, he said, the discussions of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, of faith toward God, of the doctrines of baptisms, of laying on of hands and resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. Do you see that? He sees the need of what ought to be taught. But what does he do? He says, hold it. Yeah, I see this need. But if God allows me to do it, I'll fulfill that. See, learn to do that. Don't just be, I'm Mr. and Mrs. Needfield because person. No, sometimes God may be very well. You move in that direction, he lets you go. Sometimes he don't. You need to pay attention to what God is saying. See, this is thy will. See, people have messed all this up. They prayed, you know, for things and then said, well, Lord, if it be thy will, you know, the answer to the prayer. God tells you about heal. Well, God, heal me if it's your will. Now, see, that's not at all. You don't throw that in there at all. He's already stated his will concerning that. Himself took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses. He already took them. So if I'm going to pray if it be thy will, then it means this. He didn't take them. So that's contradictory to the Bible. You don't want to go there. That's contradictory to by his stripes you were healed. That'd be contradictory to say, if it be his will. Well, I already know it's his will to heal. I know it's his will to save me. I know it's his will to heal me. I know it's his will for me to prosper. Now, there's one thing he said, God, I have to learn this. How does he want, he has set a plan for prosperity, and it isn't all of what people say, we're just giving your money. You know, if it was, then there would be no billionaires of all these sinners. The only place they get that is these teachers that teach this stuff make you think the only way. No, you can prosper. You can prosper. There's people, you know, that were written about here with James. They might have gone down there in a year and made a bunch of money and come back. But James said it was a sin what they did because they left God out of the thing. We're just going to go do this. He said, now you don't do it that way. You always keep God in on the thing. And I just want to get encourage you with that today as we see this as following the will of God. This is why we yield ourselves to the will of God. How important it is to listen to what God has. I'm just telling you, don't be always so quick to jump to do something or to even what people want you to do. Make sure in your own heart that it is the right thing to do. See, we live in a time, I've watched this, when you know they started all this thing, well, today we're just so busy. I'm just so busy. And I said, well, sin will prevail. When man gets busy, sin prevails. You get too busy, sin prevails. You can't be so busy, because this is what happened. So busy means you don't spend time with God, you don't spend time studying the Word, you don't spend time, because you're so busy doing all this stuff. You're so busy. I'm busy doing this, and I'm busy doing that. And we don't stop and say, you know, slow down, slow down. You are not going to hear on the inside moving fast. I moved fast after I heard. I found out, because why? I moved fast before. I've done enough stumbling up that way. I moved fast, and after the problems came, then you're trying to listen and hear to try to get fixed the mess you did. I know I'm the only guy that does that. So the rest of you are just so spiritual. But it just, you know, you do that. You go along with it. It's not take that time. There's one thing is I have learned is some things about patience. See, being busy all the time, you're not patient. Don't tell me you're a patient person and you're busy all the time. That can't happen. Because patience leads to this. Sometimes you just got to bring things to a stop and patience will say, I got to check this out. That makes it. If anything today, people don't check nothing out. Don't, you know, just, I want to come and go pull up, throw it in a bag and poof, I'm going. I'm just, you know, just, this is it. We're moving fast enough, going enough. Because why? I got so much to do. And haven't we become a much more spiritual nation being so busy? Wow. The church is so much better group of people. I mean, it's just working so much better. The doctrines have gotten really good. See, busy people put out weird doctrines. Weird doctrines come out from fast generations of people. We got to herd them in the church and get them out in an hour. We got another group coming in, herd them in, herd them out. This is the work of God. No, it ain't. Has this stuff led to more spiritual people? This is the way God works. God many times operates a lot slower than Ed. He's not as quick to respond. He doesn't move just because you have a need. And if you haven't learned that yet, boy, I hope you do. I'll tell you, that faith and patience thing is true in the scriptures. If you get anything, get that. Say, oh man, he should have fixed it yesterday. What is going on? I need this thing changed. I'm in discomfort. Oh, been there, done that many times. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That walking by faith, when nothing looks good like it's happened or even changing, and you're walking around saying, praise God, God's working on my behalf. Hallelujah. He's and you got a smile on your face, and it looks, what's going on? You should be crying. Naturally, you should be crying. But you're walking around smiling on your face. Hallelujah. That's the life of faith. Acting like what seems to be going under that you believe that God's working in and acting like He's working in it. Instead of, well, we got trouble. Pray for me. Well, I know when a person, you could have problems and you have them going on. Well, why would you cry about praying for you if you thought it was going to work? When you say, my God, pray, this is things turning around. But you never don't hear those faith words. It's always, what's happening? Well, see, you didn't have no faith that you're on your own. Because you can't join their club because you ain't got no agreement in it. Because if you join their club, it's going to get worse.
That's right.
Says, I pray God. We're going to pray and God's going to get on the scene. That's what's going to happen. Pray for me. Things are going bad. Wow, what am I supposed to pray that they go worse? What do you want to hear? Say, God, could you please make it go worse? So you know, God, I'm in this lousy situation, but I want to thank you. Hallelujah. I'm talking to you. You're my help.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, I want to quit. I want to lay down, kick my feet. That's what I want, but I'm not, because I'm talking to you and you're on my side. You're going to take care of this.
That's right.
You got to learn to do that. You learn to stand up. So that's when the Lord told me in the military, when things are going wrong out there on the field and the fighting's going on and things are going wrong, those are the days you need to be strong. You don't need a whimper in the bunch. You don't need to be a whimper in the battle. Because if you do, you're going to lose the battle. Those are the days. See, I learned with this. I lay down my wanting to cry to stand up for somebody else. I ain't going to lay down and cry like everybody else. Because I tell you, they can have somebody that can stand with them. Not somebody that's going to whine with them. That's what we need. We need people who can stand up and say, hey, you're going through a bad time, but we're getting with God on this thing, and He's coming on the scene. This is what's happening. We'll pray. Basically, they're asking to pray to see if God will do something. There's very little faith in the thing. And say, hey, man, why are we praying? Because God will respond. He'll move. If I call on Him, hallelujah, He'll show up.
That's right.
We ask and we shall receive. We seek, we find. When we knock, it's open to us. Hallelujah. The devil brought bad, God's bringing good. Hallelujah. Get yourself over that. See, when things go wrong and people can't stand, they got to have somebody stand for them. We have weak-willed people that go with the will of the weak. Say, no, the weak person needs somebody who can stand and come jump in and go, hey, God's in this. Say, we're going to pray and God's going to move in this thing.
Yeah.
And you know, when they see it, the next time somebody else has a problem, they may be the one that stands up and say, hey, man, I don't know how this thing works. And they jump up for that person. But we go from week to week to week to week to week to week. See, now, when we call on Him, He answers. Why would we even bother with a prayer life? Are we just making words to God? Are we just talking? If He ain't going to move and do it. It's like we're trying to get Him to do something. Man, He's done responded. He wants to do something. He's already wants to get in He already wants to get in our lives and to do things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Get yourself set in your own will. Hallelujah. That you believe these things of faith about God. That hallelujah, that if you call on Him, He answers you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God will answer me. See, they talk about personal relationship. Sometimes God says yes, sometimes He says no, sometimes He says maybe, sometimes He says later. What a ridiculous relationship. Stupid. I mean, anybody talks about a personal relationship with God and have such words come over a pulpit. It's like, that isn't the way it works. Hallelujah. You call on me, I'll answer you. Hallelujah. I've been dumb and God, I've called on God, He answered me. I've done dumb things, and He's fixed them. He's fixed my dumb. Why? Because He'll answer. We all miss it at times. There's not one of us that misses it. If He only responded to you because you got it right all the time, I gave this up a long time ago. If I can always do it right, I have no need of Him. I have zero need of God if I can make it all work all the time. I can't. That's why I trust Him. My faith is in Him. I don't have a lot of confidence in me sometimes. Why? I live with me. I know more about me than you do. I know my strengths and weaknesses, and sometimes my weaknesses seem to be awful big. Hallelujah. But there's one thing. I'm trusting in the One who is strong. Always strong. God's never weak. And I want you to get that in yourselves today. Let's stand to our feet. Get that in yourself today. Hallelujah. God is strong in you. God is strong inside of you. Hallelujah. God's on your side today. Hallelujah. You can yield your will to Him. He doesn't want you to yield your will to Him because He just wants to be this tyrant and tell you what to do. See, He can see ahead. See, when James talked about you don't know what's coming tomorrow, did you ever realize that? Sometimes you can walk in your most, sometimes I walked in spiritual places where I have spent more time in prayer and doing stuff and then turn around and something come on me and I didn't see it coming at all. It wasn't because I wasn't spent. Sometimes, you know, this is about the life of walk of faith. See, when that thing comes, now this is the time you got to step out there in faith. Sometimes you don't know what's going to come tomorrow. But see, this is this walk of faith. Always be ready to respond to God by faith, no matter what may come. Always be ready to respond to God and say, God, there's a mess here, but I know if I call on You, You'll help me. But see, if you're one of those person, always waits till the mess comes and then try to get close to God, trying to talk and say the right thing. What happens? It comes. You're looking for a prayer chain. You're looking for somebody else to pray to get. Just take the, you don't see yourself. Say, hey, look, I'm going to get somebody to agree with me because I can't. See, I've had people ask me to agree with them in prayer. They weren't in agreement with nothing. They weren't believing God was going to do a thing. If I'd agreed with them, nothing would ever happen. See, when you want a prayer of agreement with somebody, it means you're at the place that you can stand. You know what you can believe. See, the prayer of faith is in agreement is when two people are believing the exact same thing. There's no such thing as a prayer of agreement. Well, yeah, I'm gonna pray, you know, because I want healed. You know, agree with me that God will heal me. I can't believe that. I believe He did. He's going to heal. No, I believe He did heal you. I'm sorry. I believe by His stripes you were healed. See, people ask me many times to agree with them on things that ain't scriptural. Say, no, let's agree. Himself took your infirmities and bore your sickness. Already did it. Hallelujah. We can agree there, can't we? Hallelujah. Well, then how much better would you feel if you thought that way? Instead of, well, pray for me that God will heal me. Like, well, He hasn't done nothing about it yet, so we're going to try to get Him to do it. That'd be like going down to the bank and say, you have $1,000 in account. Yes, get $25 out. And they say, no. I'm going down to see if I can get the money out. Well, see, healing's on your account. It's already yours. When you believe you receive it, you take it. See, and this is what people need to see this thing. I don't understand sinners that people don't know. I've operated in areas, got people healed who didn't understand the healing thing. They wouldn't sit in churches and teach right about it. And then again, there's people who sit in churches and teach right about it, and they still don't do right about it. You can teach all the time that they are healed, they'll still act like they ain't. They'll still talk like they're not, like they're trying to get it. See, get a revelation of God. This is where you get over. This is one of the things that I believe really helped me as a young Christian was the fact that of learning to develop in a personal relationship with God where He could teach me. Helped me tremendously. Where he talked to me about my personal problems, where He dealt with me. He'd take me to scriptures about what I needed to know, what not somebody else needed to know, what I needed to know, what I needed to change if I wanted to have success in things. And I'll tell you what, get that. Don't sit down and talk to God and say, hey, Lord, where am I messed up? Now, you might have to sit there a long time and listen to a lot of things you didn't want to hear. But people don't. We're always praying this poor other person's messed up out here. And we're praying God to straighten them out. Amen. My God, you're in worse shape than he is. That was me. I was in worse shape. I got saved and still I was in worse shape of knowing what to do right and to walk right. Than a lot of people that weren't even saved at the time. Yeah. They were living better than I was. See, I definitely need my mind renewed. I needed to be changed. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to thank you today. Father, for opening up the scriptures to us and teaching us, Lord God, teaching us all these wonderful things, Lord God, from your word that help us, Father God, develop us, Lord God. Hallelujah. I'm just so thankful that you're on our side, that you're not against us, that you're for us. Hallelujah. Lord God, you're not putting us down today. You're taking us to a higher place. A place, Lord God, that you can reveal more of your glory, bring your blessing, Lord God, because this world needs to see the God who blesses. God, do they need to see it? They need to see that you're not just not some religious thing trying to point us, that my God, you're real. And you're, Lord, as I've said for many years, my God, I realize you and your word are one, but my God, you're more glorious than I understand the word. You're more wonderful. Hallelujah. Beyond measure. And I just want to let you know how much I appreciate that. And Lord God, with these ones today, Lord God, Lord, you want to work in their lives, Lord God, to bring blessing. Hallelujah. Lord God, Jesus, you said yourself that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, but you come to bring life. And Lord God, Lord, I pray today that that revelation dawns on them. Hallelujah. That you're the one that is the life giver, the life. Lord God, you're always trying to bring life to situations. You're not the one who's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. You're not the divider. Hallelujah. Lord God, but you're the one that brings life. And Lord God, I thank today, Lord God, that they can see it. Hallelujah. Lord, we may have missed it, but Lord God, we don't have to feel condemned. Lord God, we missed the mark, and maybe we, Lord, haven't always set our will the way we should have. But Lord God, we don't have to feel condemned. You gave us the word, Lord God, not to put us under, but to put us over. Hallelujah. So we can see the things that we need to do and walk in. Lord God, sometimes just to how to ask you the right question, Lord God, so you can give us the answer that we need. And I want to say thank you, Father God. Thank you for giving us revelation today. Thank you for opening us to understand and comprehend the word, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, because I believe there's a great desire among the ones here to want to go further and walk further and understand more, Lord God. Lord God, that, Lord, we have a heart's desire concerning our communities, our families, Lord God. Lord, not just about our nation, but Lord God, just the people around us. And Lord God, our own families, Lord God. Lord, we know that among our own families, Father God, there's so much ignorance and things about the Word of God and people not walking in the light. Lord God, we don't want to be a curse to them. We want to be a blessing to them, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, they need to have people around them that know how to walk in the light. And I thank you, Father God. That's what we want to be. We want to be the lamp that's on the hill. Hallelujah. We don't want to be hidden, Lord God, away from people. But Lord God, we want to be a light that shines out of darkness. Hallelujah. Lord, that when others around it look, Lord, I know people in the past, Lord, have said about, you know, Lord God, of all the years that they walked and family members, Lord God, didn't always treat them the best and the same, but there came a place and time in life that they recognized the fact that they walked in a place of blessing that the ones who didn't follow God didn't. And those ones that didn't follow God noticed it. And they said, you know, we can see that God's helping you, that God's working in you. Lord God, that's the life that we want, that they can see. You know, God's in here working with us. And I thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. You have a great plan. You have a wonderful plan. And we're going to follow it and walk in it. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.